In this lesson, we are going to dive into the soul groups of origination. Now, it's a lot of content. Please don't let that overwhelm you. Remember, it's not about memorizing all of it. It's just about understanding it. Now, the soul groups of origination is the second most important part of the Divine Soul Blueprint. Truth is, not all souls begin their journey here on our planet. Some souls initially incarnate elsewhere in our galaxy before incarnating on Earth. Now, where we first incarnate is not what shapes us. It's actually the other way around. We incarnate for the first time into a star system that is most vibrationally like us at our origination. So when our soul is first created by Divine Source, it has to go somewhere, right? Well, based on the law of attraction, which you all know about, the soul is going to go to whatever place of self-expression that is most like itself, right? So that very first place of incarnation, that very first vehicle of self-expression is going to have the most likeness to the soul at origination before the soul ever made any negative choices or any blocks or restrictions were created. And so that's why the soul group of origination gives us even more clues as to soul level characteristics, all right? So the definition for a soul group of origination is the place where the soul went when it was first created by Divine Source. So the soul's very first vehicle of self-expression. Where was that? And very frequently, especially for our clients, it actually wasn't this planet. So soul groups of origination share certain soul level traits that serve us within our human experience in creating more of what we want. So by looking up the soul group, we really get even more clues as to our own divine nature so that we may express who we are into our human experience. So for the protocol, you're going to ask, what is my client's soul group of origination? Very simple. And there's going to be a lot of options to choose from. And then you're going to ask, is there an overtone or underlay? If you get a yes, you'll ask, is there an overtone? And if you get a no, you'll ask, is there an underlay? It can only be one or the other. So soul groups only have an overtone or an underlay. They can't have both. And of course, we'll talk later about what the heck these terms even mean. Now, there's a limited number of places from which souls come here. There's quite a few soul groups to choose from, and you're going to have a chart in your materials that you can use to douse so that you don't have to go through, you know, 15 different soul groups one by one. But really, at the end of the day, it is a fairly limited number of places, all right? So once souls come into a third dimensional experience and create karma, they can only experience and resolve karmic consequences through other third dimensional experiences. So karma always has to be resolved at the dimensional level at which it was created. So there has to be enough likeness between star systems in order to allow a soul to go from a third dimensional experience in one to another. And that also means a third dimensional means of self-expression has to actually be available. And finally, there has to be an opportunity for the soul to experience like karmic consequences to the choices they've made so far. So it's not like we can flit around the entire galaxy or universe at will, all right? We are governed by universal law. And it's kind of miraculous that there's more than one place that we can go experience ourselves to begin with, okay? So it is amazing that we have more than one planetary opportunity for self-expression. So please don't imagine that every little star system in our galaxy is a soul group or that we're able to incarnate just about anywhere. We really can't. Now, our soul group indicates into which star system the soul incarnated right after its origination from Divine Source, right? And all of us have an inherent understanding of the energy of the various soul groups because we all share likeness. And the various star systems are part of our night sky here on Earth. Now, soul groups are named for stars rather than planets when they're located outside of our galaxy, and that's because we can't see the planets. But we can see stars, and all of the different stars that the soul groups are named for are visible and known, right? That's why we already have names for them. Now, this creates a problem, which is that soul groups are very Googleable, and there is a lot of nonsense on the internet about different soul groups. So please understand that we have our frame of reference within this modality. If you go into Google World or the bookstore or whatever, I can't vouch for the accuracy of any of that. You'll also go into overload. And you know what? As we already discussed, when it comes to energy centers, it's not about information, it's about transformation. So please understand, the information about soul groups is a contained part of this modality, all right? Now, soul groups can be organized into souls who originated within our solar system and star traveler souls who originated elsewhere, outside of our solar system. Now, most soul realignment practitioners and our clients are star traveler souls. We all tend to attract one another. You know, we tend to hang out together. And most souls on our planet are earther souls, which explains why most of us who do this type of work, we feel like we have to pretend to be normal a lot. And your clients will identify with that as well. I once taught a seminar. I had maybe like 120 people in the room. And I asked the audience, you know, who here feels like they have to pretend to be normal pretty much every day? And everybody's hand went up. And that's just star traveler souls, okay? Now, soul groups within our solar system include souls from Earth, Maldek, and Mars. And soul groups from other star systems include souls from Mintaka, Polaris, Pleiades, Procyon, Sirius, Arcturus, Spica, Vega, Alpha Centauri, Hadar, and Draco. Soul groups may also belong to the Blueprinter group. Now, this group is not defined by a physical location of origin. They travel all over, and they are more defined by their role because they're energetic engineers of sorts, and we'll go through the different kinds of Blueprinter souls there are. And then there's a few souls that come here from a totally different galaxy, our mission realmers, and also souls from a parallel dimension, which we call parallels. Now, the information about the soul groups is definitely the most dogmatic information contained in this course. Sorry about that. I just can't get around it, okay? So I understand this is sort of a little out there if you've not heard of the concept of souls coming from different planets and having incarnated elsewhere before they came here. And here's what I would invite you to do. Just shelve that for a second. This is a system of classification that just works. Whether souls actually came from other planets or not, you know, if you have trouble with that, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. What really matters, though, is that the different soul groups can give us a huge amount of insight into who our client is at soul level, and it can give the client a huge amount of insight as to who they are and how they're here to express themselves. In fact, if you don't like this idea of souls traveling throughout the galaxy, if that's too woo for you, that's totally cool. You don't have to even bring that up with a client. In fact, these days, I don't talk about soul groups with my clients very much at all. I don't want to distract them. I just want to tell them who they are at soul level as expediently as possible. And so I don't tell them what a soul group is. I don't even tell them the name. I just go, so who you are at soul level is, and then I launch into the characteristics of the soul group. All right, so whether you're into this idea that we've traveled around the galaxy or the universe, or you're like, oh, that's way too out there for me, it's fine. What really matters is that this classification system is so accurate. I mean, as dogmatic as it is, I would love to be able to just like leave it out because I don't like dogma, right? It's like, just believe this. It's like, okay, but it has proven itself so accurate over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of readings. And so I want this to be part of our frame of reference because it just freaking works. All right, so if you're having trouble wrapping your brain around this idea that souls come from other star systems and have traveled, you know, don't let that deter you, please. Don't let that distract from the value of being able to give clients insight as to their own divine nature and able to give you insight as to your own divine nature. And once you start working with this information, you know, it doesn't really matter whether souls actually came from a certain planet, but the way we designate these soul groups, you'll start tuning into the energy of the different groups, and you'll develop a feel for them and an understanding for them that really goes beyond, of course, the intellectual understanding you'll have through the content that I'm presenting. And after a while, knowing people's soul group, you'll just get them differently. So give yourself the experience of this information rather than dismissing it because it's a little bit out there, right? The proof is in the pudding. Give yourself the experience. Present this information however you're comfortable to your practice clients. And let your results tell you the truth. And of course, also give yourself the opportunity to live into your own soul level characteristics and see what happens in your life. See what results you create. All right, so it really doesn't matter whether souls come from different parts of the galaxy or not. It's just more important that the classification system is really, really accurate. And you will find that the more souls you read for, the more energetic understanding you'll have of the different soul groups. And this information will become a shorthand of sorts for understanding the people around you. I have a really good friend who studied this program. And when we talk about people we both know that she has accessed their information for, she'll be just like, well, you know, Syrian. And I'll be like, oh, okay. And that's pretty much all we have to say because we understand who people are just based on their soul group. So it really is incredibly valuable. Now, as with the energy centers, the soul groups can express themselves dysfunctionally, so in a way that does not create results, as well as functionally in a way that creates abundance within this human experience. If we repress the truth of who we are, our divine nature will always assert itself dysfunctionally. So as with the energy centers, it is our responsibility to make choices that allow us to live our divinity in a way that is functional and creates results within our human experience. Now, because the soul groups are a set of characteristics, rather than different energetic expressions of vital force energy, they do not inherently have a positive and negative polarity inherent to them. All right, so I just want to be real clear about that. The energy centers are different aspects of vital force energy, different qualities of vital force energy. Soul groups are really just named for where did the soul first go after it was made. And that tells us about soul level characteristics. Now, those characteristics can be expressed functionally and dysfunctionally, but there's no inherent negative and positive polarity to them. So let's talk about earther souls. You may come across a few of them in your practice. They're actually starting to show up more, but generally we tend to work with far more star travelers than earthers, but they are grounded, practical individuals that are very comfortable in their physical experience. After all, this is their physical experience, right? So they're very comfortable here on Earth. Obviously, this is home. And they're very driven by comfort, safety, and security as their primary goal, which is also, by the way, why we don't get them into our practice so much, because comfort, safety, and security and rapid personal growth and expansion, those are very separate things. And that's why earther souls are kind of slow to come into our work. Now, earther souls have a very strong relationship with this planet. They may be interested in earth healing, with like crystal healing or shamanism, and they definitely have a concern for our environment. They will also have a strong relationship with nature. Being outside is very balancing and very important to them. Now, the dysfunctional aspect of the soul group is complacency. because they can become so overly focused on physical comfort and safety to the point of stagnation. So typical earther souls do go to work, do a job they kind of don't hate, get a paycheck, come home, eat a big dinner, watch TV, do it again, celebrate holidays in a very traditional way, right? I mean, family is the most important thing because that's all about comfort and safety and security, right? And so pretty much what you see in mainstream media is very much the energy of earther souls, and they are fully bought into those ideals that are constantly portrayed in mainstream media. They are really how we define normal on our planet, earther souls. And that is most souls on our planet. It's just not most souls that we work with. But they do have this tendency to get really complacent and do the same things over and over because it's safer that way and they feel secure and it's so comfortable. They don't like getting out of their comfort zone because they're kind of wired for comfort. Now, that's not absolutely every earther soul out there, but it is most of them. Now, we also, within our solar system, have the soul group from Mars. Now, the surface of Mars was rendered uninhabitable by the explosion of Maldek, which we'll talk about. Now, Earth was simply the next most convenient place for souls from Mars to express themselves. I mean, we are right next door. We rarely find these souls in our practice. There's not a lot of them to begin with, and they're somewhat reclusive. So they are not very comfortable on this planet either. They have a feeling of being misplaced and not belonging here. You can kind of think of them as soul-level refugees, really. I mean, their own planet was no longer inhabitable. They just went next door because that was convenient. Did they necessarily want to come here? Probably not. So they feel a little bit misplaced, like they're not really at home here. They almost have like a temporary feel to them. They often shape their bodies based on the sense. They can be slightly odd looking, you know, like their features are a little bit out of proportion sometimes. Not for all of them, but sometimes. Now, they like a lot of structure. They can also be quite aggressive. But in our practice, what we mostly encounter is a love of structure. Again, this is why we don't get a lot of these souls into our practice. Because unique divine self-expression, living our divinity, that is all about breaking out of normal. It's all about expressing our uniqueness. And the structured systems that a Martian soul is drawn to really have to fall away in order for our divine self-expression to take place. So again, this is why we don't get a lot of them. They like to be in really structured work environments. They will adopt the structure of what is considered normal in human society. It just makes them feel good. Their society was one made of warriors and very male dominant. There's a reason we think of Mars as the god of war, and they may be drawn to military service here on Earth. Again, military is one of the most structured organizations you will ever find, and that's, again, why they're drawn there. Now, the dysfunctional aspect of the soul group is about hiding from society. They may be the quiet bookkeeper in the back office, or the scientist who's working in the laboratory 80 hours a week. So they generally don't engage that much. You're not gonna find them with their own YouTube channel, putting themselves out there, or as a speaker on stage. I mean, that's just not how they are. They are quiet, if they're not downright reclusive. But they love structured environments, university environments, the military, really structured corporate environments. It just makes them feel more comfortable. They're so displaced. It's like that large amount of structure in their lives makes them feel like they have a specific place where they belong. That's why they're often drawn to that. Now, Maldek, was allegedly a planet, and I say allegedly because there's all kinds of information on the internet, but is it scientifically proven? No, there's just a lot of theories, all right? But the theory is that Maldek was a planet that was destroyed and is now the asteroid belt located between Mars and Jupiter. Now, the asteroid belt is scientific fact. Whether it ever came from a planet that was blown up, we don't really know. But Maldek was a warring civilization that disproportionately advanced themselves technically and mentally until they literally blew up their own planet, and that apparently, supposedly, had a lot of consequences for our solar system. Mainly, that Mars no longer was inhabitable, right? Mars was right next door. Also, I've heard this theory that the reason we have a 365 and a quarter rotation is because the Earth got a little knocked off its axis by the explosion of Maldek, which sounds, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, sounds like it could be true, right? In any case, it doesn't really matter. I just want you to know what is fact and what may not be. Now, supposedly that explosion stripped the surface of Mars, shifted the axis of the Earth, right? And Maldekians are very rare. Now, they are really mentally gifted, very intelligent people, but they have real trouble with emotions. Now, soul groups and energy centers combine. All right, so if you get a Maldekian whose fourth energy center, for example, they will have less trouble with emotion than, let's say, a Maldekian whose sixth energy center. Same thing, a Maldekian first energy center, right? Energy of compassion, obviously, they're going to have an easier time relating to people. So please understand, the energy centers and the soul groups, they play together. It's almost like the energy centers will shape some of these soul group characteristics. All right, but Maldekians are very deliberate decision makers. They do tend to overthink their choices because they have a fear of creating devastating consequences. They all still have this karmic memory of destroying their own planet. So they're very careful. But where they really shine is as strategists and analysts. Now, the dysfunctional aspect of the soul group is social awkwardness or anxiety because they just don't relate to their emotions well. And so this clouds their communication. They're often misunderstood. They're just socially awkward. Chances are you will never get an Earther, a soul from Mars, or a Maldekian in your practice. They are really that rare. I don't think I've ever had either of those three in my personal practice in all the years that I've been doing this work. So don't be surprised if you actually never come across these three soul groups. It's actually pretty typical for soul realignment practitioners. Every once in a while, one might show up, but they do not make up the bulk of your clients.